was gonna do that after. All right, we'll come back to the testimonies in a minute. I want to invite Nick and Ethan. They're gonna come and share about missions opportunity for any college students. So if you guys could come up, take over the mic.
This is my first time in this church, so thank you for welcoming me and the worship team. That was very beautiful just to listen and focus on God, and the words and the songs were nice just to think about the attributes and how beautiful Jesus is. So how many people here have been on a missions trip of any type? All right, how many did it overseas? Awesome. And so I'm here to present to you an opportunity. If you go to Mohawk Valley, you have the week off, March 10th through the 16th. Nick and I were just down there with a bunch of college students from Rochester area, and so we're going down to North Carolina for hurricane relief. And so picture, most of the people we're going to be helping are at least 60 or over. They don't have insurance on their houses, and they are poor. It's a really poor area. It's about 45 minutes to the nearest Home Depot to get supplies. But picture this. Picture you're maybe in your 70s, and 3 years ago you had a hurricane. And what they say is, they use this phrase, a 100-year hurricane, or a 100-year tornado, or blizzard. It's usually about every 100 years you have this major storm. Well, they had Matthew 3 years ago. Some of them have just got their houses, moved back into their houses, got them repaired. And then this last fall, Hurricane Florence came through. And this particular area is 50 miles from the coast, but it's in between two rivers. And the levee on one of the rivers broke, and so the whole area was flooded. Some of the houses, the water was over my head, and the houses, all that was left was the roof. Other houses had no water in them from the flood, but rain damage. So one house we went to, I forget the lady's name, Joe's sister. Do you remember her name? Anyway, we get there. She has her disabled son living with her, and as soon as you go in, there's magazines on the floor, and the goal is you don't step on the magazine because you'll go right through the floor. And so this house had flood damage. This house also had mold so bad. I've done lots of hurricane relief, but this had mushrooms and weird fungus and looked like black sponges growing in the shower, and they're still using it because they didn't get a FEMA trailer. And so we're going to be going down the 10th through the 16th of March, and we're going to be helping people that really don't have help. They don't have insurance. Some people are in a FEMA trailer, but the goal is to get them back in their house. And so we're going to be working with an organization down there that works with FEMA, and so all these people have applied. But there's a huge need. Some of them are Christians, some are not. And so there's a couple pictures up here so whether you've ever held a power tool or put up sheetrock or not, we could still use you. And so picture this, you're going to have a whole spring break to go to North Carolina, and it's only $100. And so that's the goal, is we don't want you guys to have to think, oh no, I have to spend a lot of money. But we're going to go down there, and we're going to be fixing enough of a house so that they can get out of a FEMA trailer for those that are in a FEMA trailer still, which means we're going to be putting up some sheetrock, we're going to be putting up insulation, and we're going to be doing some plumbing. And so if you've never done any of that, that's totally fine. We will either train you. When we went down last time, there was at least five people who had never even used a power tool, but we trained them how to do it safely. So there's lots of opportunities here. But we're going to be going down. They're going to feed us, and they're going to house us, and so we don't even have to worry about that part. We just want to be there to do the work. Just as important as doing construction work on these houses to get people back into their homes is sitting and listening to the homeowners. You'd be shocked at how many of these people live in the middle of nowhere, and they're so lonely. And so sometimes there might be nothing for you to do, and we'd be like, hey, go talk to the lady or go talk to the homeowner. And it was just an awesome opportunity to sit there and pray with them and hear their needs. And then a couple houses we got to, and they're like, well, the work's already been done, but they were just so thankful that we were willing to be down there. It's shocking. We all wear these orange shirts or different color shirts, and everyone knows who we are, and they're like, wow, they came all the way down here to help us. So there's a huge need, and our goal in is fulfilling the gospel is to know God and let him be known, and we can love God by serving other people. And so Nick just came down, and I'm going to ask Nick to share what he got out of the last trip. I think it was his first trip like that. And then maybe why should someone want to come with us down to hurricane relief?
So hey, guys. So what we did, every day we'd go to the church, we split up into different groups, And then at the end of the day, we'd get back together, and each group would say something that they learned from the day. And I got to tell you, it was so encouraging to see fellow college students go do something and come back and just share what they learned that day. And I got to tell you, just the impact that I feel that I had just by having other people my age do work together, it's just something that spoke to me the most, just having people my age do what God wants them to do by showing the love of Christ. And there were some people that knew what they were doing, other people that didn't know how to use a power tool, so they would still be God's hands and feet by talking to the homeowner. And like Ethan said, just listening. A lot of these people, they're older and they don't have people to listen to them. They can just talk for hours about their life, but that means so much to them just to be able to talk to somebody. So I encourage all of you guys that if this is something that you feel that God puts on your heart to do, please talk to Ethan. This is an amazing opportunity to do something that God may be calling you to do.
And if for some reason $100 seems impossible to you, we do have some scholarships available, so we never want finances to be an issue. But if you want to know more information or want to sign up, I will be around afterwards, and you can just come talk to me or sign up. And we're leaving in 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's a 12-hour drive down there, but then it's 5 days of hardcore work, and we're excited about it. So just thank you for letting us share the opportunity, and we hope that you would think about it or pray about it, or even if you know someone that might be interested, let them talk to Oleg, and I'll be in touch with him on ways that you can know more information. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I thought of a funny name for someone who talks with other people on a mission trip. So if you ever have to put down, you know, for a resume what you did on a missions team, you'll say you're a communications engineer. So you just, yeah. All right, it's not funny. All right, all right. Oleg's gonna share today, so I'm gonna hand that off to him. And again, guys, tune in, listen to what God is gonna be speaking today. He always has something new, something that's gonna impact us, and never take things directly, but always stay open-minded and be like, God, what are you trying to speak to me? You know, sometimes truth hurts, and I'm not saying that what I was going to say is going to hurt. I'm just saying in general that be open for the truth to move in your life, you know? All right, so let's hand it over to Oleg here.
Yo, so good to see everyone here. We got Zhenya. We got Michael, you know, we got Abby, we got Esther and Bogdan, all of you guys. It's always really good to see people, and I love seeing, I just wanted to say, like, I'm so happy with our young people, and I'm so excited to see every single person that comes here, and there's something so authentic in this church that I just love, and I love being here, I love serving here, and I love Max and Dina in the back. All right. So for me, I just feel like, all right, we got the board here. In my life, it's just, and even more recently, I've just, as looking at culture and looking at the young generation growing up, I just had such a heavy burden for young people. And I wanted to talk about something tonight that's really challenging, but it's out of love. Because I've seen what God can do with a life that's surrendered to Him, and I really want that for your life. And I want Him to do something with your life if you would allow Him to. And this comes back all the way to my own story. When I surrendered it all to God, and He began completely transforming my life, I remember going to a conference, and, you know, it was awesome, conferences, and I loved it. And I was just up front and just praying and worshiping and stuff like that. And someone came up to me and shared this word. And it was so, it completely changed my life. And it was this. And the guy said, "You say, Lord, Lord, but you don't use me. Use me." And I realized that in my life and in the young people's lives, oftentimes we cry, you know, wolf or whatever, or we cry, "Lord, Lord." But we say that because we know, like, we need His help, but we don't allow Him, and we don't receive that power and that grace that He gives through His Holy Spirit. And so every time there's a temptation in your life, he gives you that power. He empowers you to overcome it. And that's what really he was getting at me, was I was saying all this stuff, and I wanted his help. I really did. But I wasn't taking it, and I wasn't putting it to use. And the word for tonight, or the title for tonight, is be deliberate. And I want to talk about this word, because this word is going to change your life. And this word really means like thought out, or like you thought something out, or on purpose. Like if I'm deliberate of something, I thought about it, and so I'm going to do it. Or if I'm deliberate about speaking on Monday, I'm going to make sure I speak on Monday. And that's what this word means. So it's funny, because the opposite of this word would be casual. And when I read that, I was like, wow. That's like being casual, or like whatever. And I feel like as a generation, as a young generation, there's so many young people growing up that are just casual. And in general, we've become just a casual Christians, casual society. And if you want, it's so dangerous being casual. And that's one of the things that I fear the most, is that I want it to be the furthest away from me. I don't want to be that American home with the fence, you know, you grow up with your family, you get to retirement, you retired, and your life was completely wasted. I want my life to have impact, and I want to know God. Not, I don't want to just be saved and go to heaven. I want to know God in this life, and I want his power to flow through me. And I want that for you guys, and we can see that in society, you know, how what we eat, it's, you know, becoming more and more casual. Like, we see how we dress, you know, we're starting to be more casual. Back then, I would never be dressed like this if I was in my parents' age or something. You had to wear a shirt and a tie. Even how we date, right? It's just like, okay, we'll see how it goes, like, whatever. I mean, he's cool or she's cool. Our jobs, you know, that it's the amount of time that people are holding jobs is going down and down. Like, people are just like, oh, whatever, I don't like this place, I'm going to go try here. You know, I want a raise. Well, you can't have one because you're not doing anything. Well, I'm going to go find another job. And they go to another place. And instead of dealing with stuff and being deliberate, we're just being casual about everything in our lives, even our time. And I think that's the biggest and most scary thing to be casual about, is our time. And I know this because I'm like that. And, you know, you wake up and you're like, you have a free day. And so you're like, we'll see what happens, you know. So you end up waking up at 12. You end up just wasting your day off. You're tired when you go back to work, or you're tired when you go back to the ministry because you weren't deliberate about your day off. You didn't actually get rest for yourself. And then our finances. You know, how casual are we about our finances? Casual looks like a credit card. You know, everything just comes by. It's like, whatever, I'll deal with it later. And we're so casual about everything. And I think a lot of times it's so dangerous because we're not being deliberate, and we need to be deliberate. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And I wanted to say this the right way, because I know that a lot of people here want to get married, right? And you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you're at an age where you're just like, no, I just want to do my own thing. Or like, but I know a lot of people, and I want you to be successful in that. And I want you to have God wants you to be happy in your marriage. You know? And when we can't even handle our own finances right now, and we have no bills, and we're living with our parents, or you're looking to get married, you're just looking for a lot of hard things to face, and you could crash. And our whole purpose of us being here is to teach you, to give you that wisdom, to raise you up so that you can be ready for that. And being ready for marriage is a person who is deliberate. He or she is someone who is focused. I know that the Bible even teaches us that there's a verse that says, you're to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This, as deliberate as it gets, that's all of you. Or even how we compare ourselves, you know, and we go we go on Instagram, we see everything, and we just lose that joy because we're not being deliberate about what we take in or what we see. And that's really the biggest regret in your life is going to be not being deliberate. And so I want to help you with that. And if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, or you feel like scared, or you're like, oh man, like, am I ever going to make it? I didn't come here to tell you how bad you are. I wanted to show you this hope in the future that God can give you. And that's what I want to put in your life. If you look at Joel 3:10, so funny, but I love it. It's like a battle cry. Look, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. And so wherever you are right now in your life, wherever you are, wherever you don't add up, God is saying to you that where you're weak, you can be strong because of me. And it's time for this generation to make war against the things in our life, or war against this world that's trying to take away our young people and just drag them through life being absolutely ineffective. And I don't want a young people or a young generation that's ineffective. I want to see, like, if you look around what God is doing, and some of my friends are at the Send, they're over there at the conference, and I really, it would be awesome to be with them, you know, and they got to spend time with some awesome people. But I love Elevate, so it's awesome to be here. But God is doing stuff, and I look at some people's lives, and even people's lives here, who God has changed since 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It's amazing. But I want to see in general, and even more numbers, a generation that's deliberate and that's filled with the power of God and actually doing what he's called us to do in our lives. And so if we could do that, we wouldn't need a helper. But Jesus said, I'm giving you a helper, and he's going to guide you into all truth. And so we can do that only through God. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Do you know that God, he wants to be your God? He wants to be your father? He wants you to be his people? I think that's so amazing. It's not like I'm just an American and I'm blessed to be here. I'm the people of God. We're good people. We're people, you know? It's awesome. And that's something that God causes you to do it, and he gives it. And back to Lord, he offers that. And it's our responsibility to receive that and apply it to our lives. We're going to look at the life of a young lady who was deliberate, and she ended up being in the family line of Jesus. And that means that also David was in her family line and all that. And that's so awesome. I was just shocked, you know, when there's these women in the Bible that were so impactful. And all they did was they were deliberate about what they were going to do. Let's read some context, then we'll go to our first point. And instead of being kind of like, I just want to do like a little bit of, you know, instruction or teaching, like it's not really super sermon. I just want to do like, I want to show you guys and teach you guys how to apply God into your life. And so there's a famine in Judah, a man and two sons and his wife, they go to Moab. The sons find wives there, and then all the men die. So they all die over there. And then Naomi, who's the mother, she hears that it's all good back in Judah. So she's like, well, I'm going to go back over there. But she has these two daughter-in-laws now. And she says to them, why don't you stay? And why don't you stay? Why don't you get married? Do your thing. Have fun. You have a whole life ahead of you. Do whatever you want. I'm going to go back. And if you really look at Ruth 1:14, if you could pull that up, it says, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And if you look, both of them showed emotion, both of them cared. But I love what it says about Ruth. It says, but Ruth clung to her. And if we're going to apply this in our lives and be practical, our first point is going to be prioritize. And so if you're going to apply this in your life, you need to sit down and be real and honest with yourself. This week, on Monday, you know, probably start with Monday, our morning prayers. We're still doing them. Sit down and be real and honest with yourself. And look at your own life. And then you're going to ask yourself this. What's important in my life? And who is important in my life? What do I want to do with my life that I'm not doing? Where do I want to go? What do I want to be? Ask yourself the most important questions. So, and we're just going to list some of the stuff that say is important. This is not necessarily all of that's important to me or might not be important to you, but I'm just going to write stuff that I think is applicable, right? Anyone have some things that are important to them that are not on there?
Food.
Food. Awesome. All right, so we have all this stuff. And so you're literally going to do this in your notebook. And if we look at what's important to us, if God is important to us, we can look how much time are we spending actually on this thing that we say is so important in our lives. If family is important to us, or having a family one day, what kind of people are we hanging out with or looking to date? If Elevate's important to us, are we serving in Elevate? Or if finances are important to you, how are you treating your finances? If they're important to you, then you should be deliberate about those things. And if we go down, and that leads us to point number two, is personalize. So in Ruth 1:16, we're going to keep reading. And thank you guys for keeping up with me. It says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Verse 17, where you die, I will die. There I will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And if you look at Ruth in this whole context right here, she prioritized what was important to her, and then she personalized it. She didn't say, well, Naomi, okay, like, I'm just going to support you. She said, your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And she was serious, and she made it personal. Never serve God for someone else. You know, you got to choose God for yourself. You don't serve someone's God, or you don't serve God because, well, you want to get married to that person and Jesus is kind of important to them. You don't start serving God because of that. You find him for yourself. Because what happens if that relationship breaks? Now you're mad at that person and you're mad at God because that was a key that was linking you together. You know, so find God for yourself and prioritize those things for yourself. Never do it for someone else. And this brings us back to one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I'm going to read a couple of verses before Exodus 20, 18 or 21. Let's read about the Israelites in the wilderness. And this is so powerful. Like, when I read this, it like completely just impacted my life. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. And this is the verse right here that I love this verse. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. I think this is where this generation is splitting. Because some people have become, and as a generation, young and old, we've become casual Christians. I want Stephen Furtick to get the word and then speak it to me. I want Pastor Tom to get the word and then teach me on Sunday. I want Oleg to get the word and on Saturday give it to me. And look, that's just what they said. You speak, but let not God speak with us. And that's really what casual Christianity is. It's standing from afar off. I don't want my only source of hearing from God to be from a preacher. I want to hear God for himself. I want to spend time with him to hear him personally in my life. I want God. I want to know him. I want to hear from him. And that's what I'm being deliberate about. That's what's the main thing in my life. And that's what I really want. And just like Naomi said, your people, they're my people. And your land is my land. You put me in Utica, I'll be in Utica. Till death do us part. I love Utica. Why? Because God loves Utica. And I love God's people. Why? Because God loves his people. And whatever is his and at the priority of his heart is going to be at the priority of my heart. But unless I'm deliberate, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday go by and I never do anything with my life. And every time I come to God and come to his presence, I love it. I find rest for my soul. And if you're not finding rest for your soul when you're coming to God, it's because you have an idol in your life. And there's something there that's above God. That's why Moses came down to the people and they built themselves a calf. That's why they said, we don't want to hear from God. We're afraid of God. You just tell us what God says, what to do. And they knew about him. They saw his works. He just brought them out of Egypt. But they were far from him. They stood afar off. And in my life, when something begins to take the priority of God, you can feel it. And it drives you from God. And it puts you up there. And that's why John says, little children, keep yourself from idols. That's his last thing he says in 1 John. And that's another verse that's been so impactful in my life. It makes me afraid. It's so important. Like, not afraid like fear, but just like aware. I don't want any idol in my life to be above God. Moses drew near, but people stood afar off. If you show me your prayer life, I'll show you how popular God is too. Show me what you're spending your time on, I'll show you what your God is. And that's something that's hard to sit there and hear because it challenges us. All right, we're almost done. But here's the awesome part about your new nature. See, it's my nature to be with my Father. It's my nature for God to be number one in my life because why? I'm born again. And when our intake is not the things of God, it's actually poisoning us. And so that's why, like, people say, well, this isn't bad or this kind of music isn't bad. Well, I don't want anyway. Why? Because it's against my nature. It's not the things that feed me. It drives me further away. I want the things of God. I want to spend time in his presence. Why? Because he's loving, he changed my life, and he saved my life from destruction. And he's going to use my life to impact so many others. He uses people to impact other lives. There's nothing more awesome, I know, than seeing someone else's lives transform. And you were a part of that. I could care less about making it and being someone and never having done anything for someone else. John said, if you love Jesus, you're going to love your brother. If you don't love your brother, God doesn't abide in you. Here's the third thing, particularize. All right, so this is, if you think about it, the first part is part, right? So be specific. Break it up in parts. Have you guys ever seen that example where they take a glass and they have a big rocks and sand and little rocks, and they put the sand in first, then they put the little rocks, and then that big rock can't get in there? But when you put the big rock in, you put the little rocks around it, and then you pour the sand in, the sand fills all the cracks, everything fits in there. What's the point? Your big rock are your biggest priorities. And so if you see Ruth, she began picking up leftovers in the field. She began working hard. She began doing whatever Naomi told her. And because she obeyed Naomi, she was able to approach Boaz to redeem her family. And Boaz praised her as being a woman with integrity and a woman that truly feared the Lord. And the way we do it is you look at what you want to do that you're not doing. Okay, maybe this is something you want to do, right? And none of this is necessarily bad until it becomes your idol, but here's what you do. Tonight. So maybe you get up later than that or earlier. So say I want to wake up with God. I want to start spending more time with Him. The first thing that comes into mind, I want it to be life. The first thing I reflect on in the day, I want it to be life. I want it to be truth. Well, my mind is still clear. I want to keep Instagram off. I want God to speak into me. That's what I do, right? I find time for God, a personal time in the morning. Then you got work. You know, whatever your work looks like. Well, okay, I should have done family. And then you got family. You're like, I want to spend more time with my family, or because I want a family one day, I want to start spending time with people that are going to lift me up, that are going to encourage me. So on Wednesday, after our prayer at 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday, I want to take my sister Vanessa out to Character Coffee. But it's closed, so we're going to go to Florentine's because sometimes we get treated there. All right? Elevate's important to me. If you look at my calendar, every Saturday for the rest of my life is Elevate at 7 p.m. Now, that might change one day, but it's there always on repeat because that's important to me. It wasn't always important to me. When you guys, if you guys first remember this, we had me and Ben sitting here. We turned on YouTube worship, and my two friends came. They never came back. A Geico ad came up during worship. Crazy stuff. That's how we started this place. All right? And I used to move around, and Ben used to move around, Elevate. We barely did it once a month. Every time a conference came up, every time I wanted to hang out with my friends at a different conference, I would move it. And then one day, we decided that we're going to be consistent about this, and God began changing the atmosphere here and the culture here. All right, we're just going to finish up. I usually go fishing on Saturdays, by the way. So that's like... And I only played music in the morning and I kind of fake worship God. Get my joke. So I didn't actually spend as much time as I wanted with Him. Because I'm not... Even though I have this, it's not every day that I'm doing it. But I want to. The main thing is you got to look what's important to you, and then you got to work at it. You got to be deliberate about it. And then once all this is filled up, then I have time to be on Insta. Then I have time to lay around in my bed then I have time to work on a post for Elevate, which someone is doing because they're doing a good job with it. All right, you get my point? Then you have time for all that stupid stuff that doesn't matter in your life. But put God first. Be deliberate. If you want a family that's going to stay together, then find a spouse that loves Jesus. Stop messing with people that don't, Jesus is not number one in their life. If you keep having issues and battles going on in your mind, stop listening to all that junk and start listening to some word of God in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. And the last thing particularizes really what it is live it out. Jesus said, whoever does these things of mine, whoever hears and does. I could spend time with God every day in the morning and never do a thing with my life. But if I spend time with God in the morning, I spend time in His Word, and I apply that in my life, that's when the change starts happening. And that's when I start building my house on the rock. Whoever hears them, you're in church all the time, or you're elevated all the time, and you're hearing this, but you're not doing anything with it. When a going gets tough, when a girl shows up, when something shows up in your life, that's all going crumbling down. Because you weren't doing, or you weren't applying, or you weren't being careful with what God had for your life. And we're going to close with this verse. Matthew 11, 29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to remind you guys that because you're born again, if you've accepted Christ, it's actually your nature to spend time with Him. And it's your nature to feed on Him. And it feels good and it feels awesome. And you begin to grow and you begin to have that glow that people are like, what's wrong with you? And you begin to have a life that has so much impact, a life that's so put together. Even with all the things that come against you, even if everything is not perfect in your life, it begins. You're building and you're growing and you're moving. It's easy serving Jesus. That's the easy part. It's miserable not serving Him, because there's no rest for my soul. And that's what I wanted to leave you guys with. He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you and to lead you into all truth. Let's stand up and just close in prayer. Maybe you want to say something to God. Maybe you want to take this opportunity to decide to be deliberate about being deliberate. Or maybe you just miss Him. You just say, God, I miss being with you. I miss just your time, your presence. Father, we thank you, God, for tonight, God. We thank you for each and every single one of these young people. They're so amazing in your sight, God. And this is true love, God. Truth and grace together. You always spoke with truth and grace because you actually want to save people. It says that all your will is that all would come to salvation. God, you want what's best for our life. You want the best families. You want the best finances. You want the best people to be your people. But so many times we go our own ways or we mix it with the world or we're blinded by the world. And so we end up something and we blame you for it or we say it's your will. But God, your will is that we would know you. And your will for our life is to rejoice always, to pray always, to always give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God for you. And we thank you, God, for that. I pray for our young people so filled with your power, so transformed like never before, that we would just impact the world around us. And that this church and the churches around us and your church would make an impact in this world and would wake up from being dormant and begin to impact the world around us and influence. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming out. We'll see you downstairs. And Monday morning, you got some homework.